April 24. You will. Well, this is an interview with George Goodspeed in Boston. It's April 24, 1987. Robert Brown, the interviewer. And Mr. Goodspeed, I wanted to talk with you about your years in the Goodspeed's bookshop, and particularly if we could talk and recall that aspect of the business dealing with art, at least with forms of art. When did you begin? Maybe you can describe your earlier memories of the shop, even as a child, and describe your father's interests.
I remember the shop. I can't sort out what I remember from before I went to work. But the old shop, of course, was in the basement of Park Street. It's where the Paulus Fathers is now. And it was a basement shop. You've seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
And then underneath the shop, there was a sub-basement. And the sub-basement, I remember, had no light in it. And my father they had to use a candle in there. We were living in Wollaston at the time. This I remember only from hearsay, but I don't remember it myself.
Because you were very small, yeah.
My father was working in the, one evening, he was working in the sub-basement. And he finished, late for him, I suppose, I don't know how late, but anyway. And he went home to Wollaston, went to bed, and he woke up. He said, "Oh, thunder, did I put out the candle?" And this was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said, "I wouldn't have done anything about it, except that I knew there was a widow living upstairs in the building." So we got out of bed 3 o'clock in the morning, and how he managed to get to Boston, this was before he ever had an automobile or anything like that. The trains must have run all night in those days, I suppose they did. Anyway, he came back in town, went down the basement, and of course he had put the candle out. It's the thing we all do in apartments, you know.
This is one of your first
It's one of the first stories I heard of it.
Well, he had already started a print department, or at least working with...
He did not. I think I told you before. There was no so-called print department. In fact, there were no departments in those days.
Mm-hmm.
He sold everything of an antique nature, except furniture and postage stamps, I think. And it was quite natural that prints and autographs would come into the picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but he did very well, and you've read that Yankee bookseller, you'll see.
Yes, his autobiography.
You'll see what reproductions of some of the early American engravings, mm-hmm. and Washington portraits, things like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And
he said that he got in ahead of the art dealers very often in terms of historical portraits, prints.
Prints, yeah.
And he would recognize their value,
at least
their potential value.
Yeah, that's right. But at any rate, he did quite a lot with them, and it was a good deal of an authority, in fact, in this subject. I think that he and Friedenberg in New York, I suppose, knew more about early American engravers than anybody else who was around.
Did he begin teaching you a bit of that?
By the time I came along, I was supposed to know everything. I went to college. And I didn't know anything, but I was supposed to. But anyway, by the time I came along, Louis Holman, and I suppose you were, did you talk to Dick Holman?
Yes.
I don't need to tell you.
But he didn't say very much. I wish you would.
Well,
talk a bit about
Louis Holman was had come down from New Brunswick, and he was a great student of, I'm going to say authority, he wasn't that much that, but he was a great student of Keats's biography. And if you haven't